What we want to do is we want to talk a little more about interference. We had started talking about this on Tuesday. And so as you recall, we were talking about things like the double slit experiment. And we would have, you know, waves coming from two different slits. And then we wanted to figure out at some point P on a screen behind these slits what was the intensity pattern. And we were seeing that we were going to get some intensity pattern that was modulated, and we wanted to find out what angles we had with respect to the horizontal in this, what angles theta we would have maximum and maxima and minima. So that's what we were doing, and we came up with some relationships like that. Now, we finished by talking about the way that we could describe the intensity, and so the time average intensity, we finished with a expression that looks like this, that the intensity is equal to some maximum intensity times the cosine squared of phi over 2. Phi itself was 2 pi d over lambda sine theta. And we obtain this expression from considering the geometry of the double slit experiment and the wavelength of the light that we had. So this is the result of what we had talked about before. Now, we can go a little further. I actually want to illustrate, we talked about phasers before, but I actually want to illustrate the use of phasers a little more, because the analysis that we took to get to this point, one of the intermediate steps that we had was that we had some total E field at point P equal to 2 times the magnitude of the E field from each beam, and I'm going to get the sines and cosines reversed, times the cosine of phi over 2 times the sine of omega t plus phi over 2. Okay, so this, again, we got this expression from following through on the geometry of this thing. And it was this expression here that directly led us to this average expression I averaged over time. Okay? So that's just what we did on Tuesday. But we actually, to get to this point, was fine. It was graphical. We had two slits. We could do the trigonometry, blah, blah, blah. But let's imagine that I have 100 slits. Well, look back at your notes from Tuesday. I think you would agree that you would not want to do that method to figure out what this expression would be for a 100-slit case. All right? So you want to come up with a better way of doing this, and this is where the phasor notation comes into play. Okay? Because it can give you a different way to visualize what's going on, and besides that, some of you may prefer to think about this problem in one way or the other. So I want to show you both ways of considering the interference. Hopefully one of them at least will sort of work. All right? But let's consider phasors. So, all right, I'm going to erase all this. This is all what we did before. There's nothing new in here. But let's go back and let's consider this sort of standard case that we have, all right? And what we have is, let's say this is E1, this right here, meaning that the magnitude, let's write that over here so it's clear, the magnitude at the electric, at point P of the electric field for the EM wave from slit 1 we'll call E1. And the magnitude of the electric field from the wave coming from slit 2 we'll call E2. Okay? And of course, these are varying in time. So we can write them down. E1, and let's say that the absolute magnitude, the peak, is the same in both cases. So we'll call that peak E0, and we have a sine omega t for E1, okay, and then E2 at this point P will have some phase shift relative to wave 1 because there's a path difference between wave 1 and wave 2. So we'll call this E0 sine omega t plus phi, or phi is some phase difference, again, caused by the path difference between these two, from these two slits to point P. Right? This is point P. I should write it. Okay? Now, okay, this is what we were talking about on Tuesday. Now, what we can actually do, though, is we can think about this in terms of a phasor notation. All right? So what do we mean? Well, let's draw a phasor diagram, okay? Now, on the y-axis, we have the value of E as a function of time, okay? And on the x-axis, this is just, you know, some arbitrary starting point, phase point. And again, we're going to draw a vector. Let's draw E1, okay? So E1 would correspond to a phasor on this plot that might look like this. Okay? So this is E1, and the angle with respect to the horizontal is omega t. Okay? Now, we can, okay, so that this is E1. Now, we are going to figure out what the total electric field is at point P. We need to sum the light from E1 and E2. And we can treat this almost as a vector sum if we're thinking about these as phasors. Okay? In other words, in this phasor diagram, I could draw an E2 as something like this. Now, so this is E2. Now, the length of this is E0, and the length of this is also E0. They have the same length. Okay, I don't know if, yeah, they're approximately the same length. But there's an angle here, phi, of E2 with respect to E1 in this phasor diagram. Okay? So the total phase, and the total angle of E2 on this phasor diagram is omega t plus phi. But relative to E1, it's just phi. And that's, we're just getting that from the two expressions that we wrote above. Okay? Now, the way that phasors work, basically, we can treat this now as, we can get what the resultant electric field is at point P by considering the resultant phasor from the sum of these two phasors, you know, sort of the vector or phasor sum, of E1 and E2. Okay? So it's just saying, okay, from the tail of E1 to the tip of E2, that is going to be EP, that's going to be the total E field at point P. Okay? Okay? So, okay. And I can, let me draw a couple other things here just to make it clear. E1 as a function of time would be here. E2 as a function of time would be here. And as these things, as time goes on, these things stay in lockstep with respect to each other, but the whole thing just rotates around the diagram, like the arms on a clock, but going in the opposite direction. Now, this is for a given phi, and phi, as we said before, phi is 2 pi d sine theta over lambda. So it contains d and sine theta and lambda, it contains the orientation, the geometry involved in getting to point P. So for each phi corresponds to a unique point on this screen, a unique point P. So phi is the independent variable, if you will, in this problem. But at a given phi, this is a diagram. I could, if I wanted a different angle, so I wanted to consider this point, okay, I would have a different, phi would be different. Then it would be phi prime and the angular orientation would be different. Okay? But just considering this one, we have E1 and E2, and we will end up with an EP, which is the phasor sum of these two. Now, this problem, we want to break this down a little bit more so that we can see a little better what's going on. So here, let's break this isosceles triangle down into two halves. Okay? So there's a right angle here. And so there's an angle here, alpha, and here there's an angle, alpha. Okay, so the original triangle had this, it was equal, it was symmetric, it was isosceles, and so I could break it down into two right triangles. Okay? Now, because of the geometry, so here's alpha, okay, and here's phi. Because this original triangle is isosceles, or another way to say it, because the magnitude of E1 and E2 is the same, is E0, what that means is that alpha equals phi over 2 in this particular case. Okay? And this will generally be the case. It just means that the light intensity in the two slits is the same. And that would be what we're doing. That's why we're what we're doing with the interference. Okay? Now, okay, so that's fine. But the other thing is we would like to know, we want to somehow relate the, okay. Let's go a little further here. I want to rename this to keep it straight. EP is the phasor sum of these two, but the magnitude of this final phasor we'll call E sub R. Okay? So this is just referring to the magnitude, the total length of this phasor. It doesn't refer to the projection of this thing on this axis. It just refers to the magnitude. All right? So we would like to understand something about what E sub R is. Okay? So first of all, we could take the geometry. Okay? We could take this triangle here, for instance, this first one down here. It's a right triangle, and we have alpha. We know the length of the hypotenuse of this triangle because it's the length of E1. The length of E1 is E0. We also know the length of this side, okay, which would be x in this orientation of the triangle, because it's going to be half of the total length of this phasor. So it's ER over 2. So the cosine is going to be E sub R over 2 divided by E0. Okay? And I can rewrite this as ER, which is just the magnitude, equals 2 E0 cosine of alpha, which also equals 2 times E0 cosine of phi over 2. Okay? Well, we've actually just gone pretty far down the road to reproducing what we did before. This is actually one piece of the resultant E sub P that we had gotten on Tuesday. This is the piece that's not time dependent, if you recall. Now, it's not yet good enough. The phasor itself, this is, so This gives us basically the magnitude of this piece. Okay. However, there is a further piece which is going to give the phase information. So, if you look at the phasor, we also know that EP is going to equal ER sine omega t plus alpha. Okay, so EP is now the phasor associated with this resultant electric field. Okay, so this is going to be ER, the magnitude, times sine omega t plus alpha, because this thing has a phase relative to omega t of alpha down here. So this is just writing down off the phasor diagram what the actual phasor for EP is. The only thing, so we can just read that off the diagram. We don't have to do any calculation. But the only thing is we need to know what ER is. We just calculated ER. So what this means is that EP equals 2 times E0 cosine phi over 2 sine omega t plus alpha. I'm just substituting now this expression here in for ER. But we know that alpha is equal to phi over 2, so I can do the replacement here, phi over 2. And this expression now is exactly what we got on Tuesday by trying to consider the trigonometry of this double slit explicitly. Okay? Now, I just said a lot of words. It probably sounds just as complicated as what we did on Tuesday. So let me try to just strip it down to what I just did. What I did was I said, I have two slits. At this point, they're both sinusoidally varying in time. So one of them has an omega t phase and a phasor diagram. The other has some arbitrary phase phi with respect to it. So I just draw those on my phasor diagram, E1 and E2. I add them. I put the head of one to the tail of the other. And then I have some resultant phasor. And I can just do this diagrammatically. I don't have to do any. All I need to acknowledge is that there is some phase phi between these two. And then I just make this drawing. This drawing doesn't even have to be, strictly speaking, exactly to scale. It just needs to be approximately correct. And then I know that I can say, okay, well, trigonometry tells me E sub R, the trigonometry of this isosceles triangle. And so I can describe that here. That's just the cosine of this angle of the resultant phasor with respect to E1, which is the reference that I picked for omega t. And then I can also write down just the straight phasor, this ER sine omega t plus alpha, as the phasor. I don't have to do any complicated trigonometry or other calculation to this diagram. I just have to write down E1 and E2, and then look at this diagram to essentially read off the resultant. Okay, so depending on, you know, how you visualize things or whatever, some people find this easier. Literally, you're just reading it off. Now this, okay, there's some benefit to doing it this way for two slits. When you get to three or more slits, this becomes a lot easier to deal with, and I'll get to that in a second. Okay? So this is now, okay, so this is what we got on Tuesday, and then we would just do the same thing we did before to come up with our intensity diagram. But this is the thing, so we would use the argument that the total intensity is proportional to the electric field at point P, and then we would get the equation that we had before, which was the time averaged intensity is equal to the maximum intensity times cosine squared phi over 2. Okay? Now let's try to use this idea to make some general statements about using phasors and what they tell you about the phase and things like that. So, and remember, phi, whenever we talk about this, phi is the phase difference between the light from different slits because there's a path difference. So let's take two slits. Okay? So first, let's consider the case where we have the phase. So I'm always going to have here E1 and E2. Okay? I have two slits, so I have two electric field contributions at any point P on my screen. Okay? I have E1, electric field from wave 1, E2, electric field from wave 2. Now, let's consider the idea where we have that the phase difference between these two is 0. Okay? Well, what I can do is I can say, okay, if that's the case, then in the phasor diagram, I have E1 and I have E2. Okay? Or I could think about it. Let's draw it a little more. I have E1. This is omega t. And then I have E2, which has also got angle E omega t. Okay? Well, how could this happen? Well, this could happen if I've got two slits and I'm looking at the screen and I've got a point halfway between them. So the path difference between these two is the same number. The difference is the same. So that means that I have no relative phase at this point. Okay. It also means that I have my difference in distance, okay, is 0 wavelengths. Okay. So these are the pieces of information that come from thinking of this diagram, okay? But I can just think about phi is 0, and I can say, okay, well, I write down these two are in the same direction to each other in a phasor diagram. There's no relative phase between them. Now, what do I get for the magnitude of the resultant electric field? The magnitudes of them, right? Yep. So ER, using the terminology we used a minute ago, is going to be equal to 2 times E0. Okay? And again, all I need to do is say, I'm at a point P where the path length is the same, so phi is 0. This is delta is 0 wavelengths. I can use a phasor diagram. I can just say, look, there's no angle here between these two. And the resultant on the phasor diagram is there. It's twice the length of one of them. Yes?
I don't know what E0 is.
E0 is something that you have to be given or something like that. You don't have a way of calculating it. It's, you know.
What exactly is it again?
Well, E0 is the magnitude of the electric field. Okay. E1 is the electric field at point P from slit 1. But that varies in time. The size, the maximum value of that, we use E0. We could say Emax, but that would be confusing for other reasons. So we say E0. Okay? Okay? So you can use a phasor diagram and you could say, okay, it's the length of this thing is this plus this. They're both the same length, so it's twice one of them, 2 times E0, and you're done. Okay? So you can say, okay, at this point, I'm going to get 2 times E0. Okay? All right, now I can go. Let's try a situation where phi is equal to pi over 2. Okay? Now, in this case, phi equals pi over 2, that means that I have gone 1/4 of a wavelength, because one full cycle is 2 times pi, so pi over 2 is 1/4 of a full cycle. It's 1/4 of a wavelength. So delta equals lambda over 4. So I'm out of phase by 1/4 of a wavelength, or pi over 2. Okay, so now I've got some situation where I'm like this. I don't know exactly where I am on here, but I have some situation like that. And so I want to know what's going on here. Well, I can draw this in the phasor diagram. Let's take E1 here. Well, E2 is 90 degrees with respect to that, so that's here. All right? So the resultant is just from the tail of the first one to the tip of the other one. So this is EP. That's just the hypotenuse of that right triangle. What is the length of EP? What is the magnitude of EP? E sub r, what is that value in terms of E0? So this is a right triangle. This length is the same as this length. This angle is 45 degrees because this angle is 90 degrees and it's isosceles. So what is the, you want to know what is the length of this resultant, okay, compared to the length of this one. That's right. So ER here now becomes a square root of 2 times E0. And really all that's been done is Pythagorean theorem on this triangle. So this equals the square root of E0 squared plus E0 squared. Because the length of this is E0 and the length of that is E0. And if you finish the square root, you're going to get a square root of 2 times E0. Okay? So again, okay, I could say here that at this point, I have the square root of 2 times E0. So it's less than it was at the first point that I tried. Okay? I could go further. Let's try the case where phi equals pi. Okay? Now, in this case, this corresponds to delta. This is 1/2 wavelength, okay? But this corresponds to a case in a phasor diagram where I have E1, and then I have E2. So what's the length of the resultant going to be? What's the magnitude of EP going to be? 0. So again, I'm not even looking at this diagram anymore. I'm just considering the fact that the length from this point back to this point is 0. So at this point, now I've gone to some further angle, okay, and now I have 0 E field, okay? And you remember that the intensity of the light is proportional to the square of this number. So obviously the light is brighter here, dimmer. Well, there's no light there at that third point. And then I can keep going. I'll just give them. But let's say that we try phi equals 3 pi over 2. This corresponds to the phasor diagram that looks like this. Okay, and that phasor diagram is just, in terms of the magnitude of the electric field, it's the same as the second one that we did over here. So ER equals square root of 2 times E0. So now I come back, I'm moving further away, okay, and now I have the square root of 2 times E0, and I'm running out of space, so let me erase over here. And then the last one would be phi equals 2 pi. And now my delta is one wavelength. But now I've got phi 1 and phi 2 is going to be in the same direction, meaning it's one whole 2 pi phase with respect to it, but it's basically in line. So the length here is going to be ER equals 2E0. So now I get to this point, and I have 2 times E0. Okay. Now, these are not just arbitrary points. This is the first phi I chose, which implies a certain theta. Okay. So we, by knowing this phi, I know the angle. Okay. I haven't calculated it out. But I know this is phi 1, phi 2, phi 3, phi 4. This is 0 phase, pi over 2, pi, 3 pi over 2, 2 pi. Since I know those phis, I could calculate theta. Okay? Yes?
So, the way you're getting the delta is... What I'm confused about is how you're getting delta dealing with the sine of theta.
Well, so phi, I'm not getting delta from that. What I'm getting is, if I have phi equals pi over 2, that means I have a sine wave that looks like this, okay? And pi over 2 is right here, okay? So this is some phase phi, okay? Well, the whole length of this thing is lambda. So what fraction of lambda have I gone through before I got to 90 degrees? So it's just 90 degrees divided by 360 degrees, for instance, or pi over 2 divided by 2 pi. I'm not using that 2 pi d, no. Okay? So you don't get lambda from your choice of phi. What it is you have an experiment, you have a lambda and a d, and you want to know, as a function of theta, what this thing looks like. Well, once I know D and lambda, once I've specified those two, then I've specified the geometry, and so every phi corresponds to a given theta. There's a one-to-one relationship between the two. So we're speaking in terms of phi because it's more obvious how to do the phasor diagram. Phi is the phase difference. When the phase difference is 90 degrees, I can draw the phase diagram. I have to know D and lambda and 2 pi to put theta, and it doesn't make sense to do the phasor diagram that way. Okay? So once I pick my phi, I can work backwards to get theta for each case. So for each one of these, I could calculate theta if I knew d and lambda. Okay? So this is the two-slit case, and this is, you know, not doing, we haven't come up with any numbers that we hadn't had before, but you can use these phasor diagrams. We're really just setting up the phasors and then reading off for certain select choices of phi, like pi over 2, pi, easy ones for us to think about, what those lengths would be. Other ones would be more complicated, but it's writing down triangles, or, you know, in the phasor diagram, and the resultant is the hypotenuse of the triangle made from I1 and I2. Now, it gets more complicated. So, well, before I go to three slits, does anybody have any questions about that? Any further questions? Okay. All right, so let me... Okay. Let's try now three slits. And now we're not even going to look at the three-slit picture. We're just going to do this in terms of phasors. Okay? So let's say that we are going to have... Well, okay, we do have to draw the three-slit case to see this, which is that I'm going to have at some point, there's going to be some phase difference of these three with respect to each other, okay? Because of the geometry, the phase difference from this one to this one, if it's phi, that means the phase difference from that one is also pretty close to phi, okay? So we, even though we have three slits now, we talk about one phase difference. It's just that for this slit relative to this one, the total phase difference will be 2 times phi, okay? And by the way, this phi is not referring to this angle, okay? That's not what I'm doing here, okay? This is just when you get to this point, there's a phase difference between the light from this slit and the light from this slit, or from this slit and this slit. That's the phi I'm talking about, okay? So please don't confuse that. In fact, I'll erase that so it doesn't get ingrained. But, okay, so let's consider the case where phi equals 0, okay? Now, in this case, one could have E1, E2, and E3. That's the phasor diagram. There's no angle between E2 and E1, no angle between E3 and E2. So that's the phasor diagram. So what is the result, the length of the resultant? Say it again? In the approximation that I'm all the thetas, right? There's a theta here. That this distance, the spread of distances over which this is happening is very small compared to this distance to the screen, which is also equivalent to saying that theta is just very, very small. I mean, that's not really, yeah. Okay? Well, I mean, the slits are always going to be exactly even. I mean, these d's, this d is the same in these cases. It would be very painful if they were not the same. Okay? So what would be the length of the resultant from this configuration, where phi is equal to 0? 3E0, okay? Okay? All right, let's try another angle, pi over 3, okay? Well, this is a little more strange, so let's draw that. We've got E1. This has got angle omega t. We just consider that our reference. We draw it like this. Now we've got, this is E1. Now we've got E2, and relative to E1, this angle, phi, equals pi over 3. Okay? And then we're going to do E3, and relative to E2, this angle also equals pi over 3. Okay? So this is how, these are separate cases, sorry, right? So this is how we would draw the case in the Phasor diagram. We have E1 relative to that E2 relative to that E3, and we would have this. So our resultant is going to be here, EP, okay? All right? Now, you're not going to be able to just read this off of here, but if you went through and, you know, the trigonometry essentially to figure out what the length of this was, you would get that this now corresponds, ER, to 2 times E0. Okay? But you'd just have to take this trapezoid and you'd have to figure out you know, what the components of each of these are to figure out what the length of that is. Okay? You could do it by making two triangles and a square and then figuring out what the length of this piece is, and this piece. Okay? So the way that you would do this, the length of this piece is E0. The length of this piece, there's an angle here, okay, and this angle is going to be, I want to make sure that I get this correct, is going to be pi over 6, and so you can figure out what this is just by looking at this, and this would be E0 over 2, because this length is equal to E0 sine of this angle. I'll call it alpha. Okay? And I've got another one over here. It's the same thing. So this is E2, this is E2, and this is E0 over 2, E0 over 2, and E0, and if you add them all up, you get this. Okay? So again, I really haven't even considered this diagram. I just picked a particular phase relationship, and then I can use the phasor diagram to write down what the magnitude will be, and squaring this gives me the intensity. And since I picked my phi, I know the theta, and so I could keep doing this. Okay? Now, we could go a little further. Let's pick phi 2 pi over 3. Okay, here we have E1. Now, 2 pi over 3 looks like this. This is E2. So this is 2 pi over 3 angle. Okay? And then we're going to have the same angle with respect to that one. So E3 is going to be here. So what's the length of that one going to be? 0, right? Okay? And then I can go one more, phi equals pi. And now here I've got E1, E2, and then E3. So what's the length of the resultant going to be there? E0. Okay? So that's for 3 slits. If you tried to do what we did on Tuesday for 3 slits, it would take you a heck of a lot longer to get an idea of what was happening than that. If you had a lot of slits, it would be bad. So, and you can see that you can be drawing, with 100 slits, you got to draw 100 lines, it gets complicated, but you start to see what it looks like. Now, one thing that is useful to note, let me actually write these down. So for 2 slits, all right, let me summarize. For phi equals 0, pi over 2, pi, 3 pi over 2, we had E sub r equals 2 E naught, square root of 2 E naught, 0, square root of 2 E naught, and 2 E naught. Okay? And then for the 3 slit case, we had phi equals 0 equals pi over 3 equals 2 pi over 3 and equals pi. And what we had here was 3 E naught, 2 E naught, 0,
and E naught. Okay? Now, what you can see here is that here at pi, so if I've got, forget how many slits I have, my number of slits is confined to this region, and here's my screen. So at some point I have some angle here, theta, and phi is related to theta. So for every phi, there is a specific theta. Okay? What you see is that at pi equals 0 for the double slit, let's say that corresponds to here, I have 0 intensity. But if I've got a triple slit, it actually occurs a little bit sooner at 2 pi over 3 in terms of phi. So what happens is the number of slits makes the whole thing get more concentrated, if you will. The minimum move in. So the number of slits has a, and it also makes the magnitude change. So the whole profile will change somewhat depending on the number of slits that you have. Let's actually take a look at problem 27. And the question there is, you want to find out, you've got four slits. And you want to find out where is the first minimum. Okay? So these distances are all D. And so the geometry that you have is, this is point P. Okay? Okay? And the question is, how are you going to get a minimum? Well, to get a minimum in a phasor diagram, the head of the last phasor has to touch the tail of the first one. So in a phasor diagram, I've got one, my E1. Well, the quickest way that I can get four vectors, the simplest way that I can get four phasors to basically wrap back on themselves is, since I got four of them, is to draw a square. Okay? So this is E1. This is E4. E3, E2. All right? Well, if that's the case, then phi, my phase, here is that angle. So what is that angle for a square?
Pi over 2.
Okay? So if that angle is pi over 2, so phi, which equals pi over 2 in this case now, which equals 2 pi, and now you do use this expression, sine theta, you can now solve for theta if you want to. You could say, okay, you know, especially if you know D and lambda. Even if not, you can do it algebraically. Okay? So what we did is we said we're going to have four of these things for the four slits, and we just come up with the simplest configuration that gets us to wrap around, because that corresponds to a place where we have zero field and zero intensity at our point P. Okay? So that was with four slits. If I had to do that with 100, okay, then I would have a vector here. I won't draw the whole thing, but I would have 100 of these things would wrap all the way around. So this angle, okay, is going to be 2 pi divided by the number of slits. Okay? And so I don't have to do a lot of work here to get this. If I want to know where the first minimum is going to be, then I can just divide 2 pi by the number of slits. That'll give me phi, and then I can work backwards to get theta.